Hope you all had a happy Christmas, and we're glad to be able to meet together again on the Lord's Day to worship Him again. Some words to start with from Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Hope you're in good voice this morning. We're going to sing some good Christmas carols. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is our first hymn, 189. Let us all pray together. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, how we praise you, that you are God over all. You hold everything in the palm of your hand. All that is big and great and vast in our eyes is like a drop in a bucket to you. We praise you that you are God. You have planned everything. Your purposes cannot be thwarted. You are the sovereign God and you are in control. And you're working everything for good and for your glory. Lord, you planned this world. You made it in 6 days and then you rested. How good it was. Very good. There were no mistakes. Everything worked. Nothing was bad. There were no failures. And you made the first man and woman. They were supremely happy. And they were free. And in fellowship and communication with you. But they turned their backs on you. They disobeyed you. They gave in to the temptation of the evil one. And they sinned. And then in them we sinned. And the world was broken. And our human lives were broken. So that we see what we see now is a world full of sin and in rebellion against you. Lord, we've just had this beautiful season of Christmas. So much to thank and praise you for. And yet we're conscious that in the midst of it, we have not been who we should be. We have failed you. We've turned our backs on you. We have said things we shouldn't have said. We have thought things we shouldn't have thought. We have failed to do the things we should have done. But how we thank you this morning that you sent your only Son into the world at Christmas, into our world, to take our nature upon himself, and on the cross to take our sins upon himself, to die in our place, to pay the penalty for our sins. And so we come to you this morning to ask for forgiveness. Cleanse us from all our sins, we pray. Put a right spirit within us. Make us into the people we should be. Help us to serve and please and honour you. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our next hymn is number 191, Thou Who Wast Rich Beyond All Splendor, 191. Let us all pray again. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we want to thank you so much for your love and goodness to us. We thank you for this Christmas time. We thank you for the blessing of seeing family and loved ones. And we thank you for protecting us through this COVID pandemic. And we thank you for the peace that our nation enjoys in these days. Lord, we come before you this morning to pray for our families and for those near to us. We pray for those who are unwell or in some kind of need or distress. Lord, we pray for Jess and for Matt's father who are unwell. And we pray for Louise and Jonathan as they await the arrival of their first child, that you might keep them safe and well, and that the baby might be born safely in due time. And we want to pray for those in our families who are not trusting and following you. Lord, that you might be merciful to them. Open their eyes to your truth and open their hearts to your love, we pray. And we pray for our church. Lord, we have been 2 years without a pastor. And so we pray that you might raise up a man of God to lead us as your under shepherd. And we pray for the children and the young people in our church. Lord, that you might work in their lives day by day to keep them from the snares of the evil one and to lead them to trust and to follow you. And we pray for this village. We pray that the light of the gospel might shine in hearts and in homes, and that this coming year we might see those added to your kingdom and to your church. We pray for our nation in all its foolishness and pride. Lord, you have spoken to us, but we have not listened. Oh Lord, we pray, send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we might be turned back to your ways. We pray for our health service, that you might help us in these days. Give strength to all who work in it and wisdom for those who organize it. We pray for the world, particularly for those nations where the pandemic is still rife, that you might bless all those who are seeking to bring help and care. And we pray for nations at war or coping with terrorism or with famine, that you might bless peacemakers and bring peace, and bless all those who are seeking to bring help in these days. But we pray most of all for those who are preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus, that even today around our world there might be a great number who would turn from darkness to light, who would come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless this service now, we pray. Might it be honouring and pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, and we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to read a passage that we might have read in the carol service last week. Sometimes this is read in the carol service. Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll read the first 9 verses. A prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and a picture of the impact that his coming would have on hearts and lives. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So reads that wonderful prophecy. Now, next hymn is 212. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. 212. Terrific Bible teaching in these old carols, some of them, these ones by Wesley at least. So our Bible reading, our New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 18. So winding back a little bit in the Christmas story. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So reads the word of God. So Christmas has come and gone again for another year. Now there's always one thing that's true of Christmas, is that there are lots of leftovers. But when it comes to the message of Christmas, the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem, it's not that there are leftovers, but rather that the truth and the reality and the fruit of his coming remain with us permanently. Jesus Christ came into the world, and the impact of that will be felt every day, forever. We're trying to focus our thoughts this year, this Christmas, on who Jesus is. Who is it that was born and laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn? What does the Bible tell us about Jesus? And yesterday we thought about Jesus, is the fact that Jesus is the Saviour. He came with this one purpose, to save his people from their sins. And if we miss that fact, we won't be able to make much sense of his life, nor of his death. And that's the reason why the world today needs to hear about Jesus. Jesus wasn't a nationalist leader in his day. And he's not just a moral leader in our day. He's the Saviour, bringing salvation and forgiveness and eternal life to sinners who put their trust in him. The name Jesus, of course, means Saviour. And there's another name given to him in the Bible. We've read it this morning. We've sung it this morning. Emmanuel. And that's what we're going to think about today. We read the account in this first chapter of Matthew's Gospel of how the angel came to Joseph in a dream to explain to him the reason that his fiancée Mary was expecting a baby. "This is not a natural happening," he's told. "There's something supernatural. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God has been at work." God is at work. And then Matthew explains that this is the fulfillment of a prophecy made hundreds of years previously by Isaiah. A prophecy recorded in the Old Testament scriptures that the readers of Matthew would have been familiar with. Here are the words of Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And people have been reading and hearing this text in the synagogues and in the Jerusalem temple for hundreds of years, without really knowing the full meaning of it. Much like some people will have been reading or hearing these words in carol concerts and so on around the world this Christmas without grasping the reality, the truth of which it speaks. Matthew, however, with hindsight, understood this was a prophecy about the birth of Jesus and an explanation of who Jesus actually is. Because, says Matthew, Emmanuel means God with us. Or it can mean God is with us. And that's true for believers in the Lord Jesus. God is with us. He's not against us. He is for us. He's been thinking of us. He's been looking out for us. He's been planning for us. Planning for us to become members of his kingdom. And he's been gracious towards us. He's loved us with his own perfect love. And he sent his son to save us. And as we trust him, and as we seek to follow him, he is with us. And he forgives us. And he cares for us. And he protects us. And he guides us. God is with us. That's a wonderful truth. But it doesn't exhaust the meaning of the name Emmanuel. Because the coming of Jesus is not just telling us that God is with us. Emmanuel is telling us that Jesus is God with us. The person of Jesus is God with us. God is with us is a truth. God with us is a person. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Just one word in Greek, Emmanuel with an E. It comes directly from the Hebrew word, Emmanuel with an I, at least when written in our script, that occurs in Isaiah. And it's translated to these three words in English, God with us. So this morning I want us to consider these three words, God with us, in that order. So firstly, God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. It means that Jesus is God. He is the Son of God, the second person of the triune God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, says John at the beginning of his Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. John is speaking about this second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, the one who became Jesus, Emmanuel. Jesus, the man Jesus, the son of Mary, was conceived at a point in time. His life had a beginning. But the Son of God had no beginning. He has existed from eternity. Through him, says John, all things were made. And to reinforce his point, he says, without him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, this Jesus, this Emmanuel, is the Creator God. He's not a God, a sort of lower tier God. He is God, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And he's not a part of God. There is only one God. He can't be divided like triplets can be divided. But he, this one God, exists in three persons. Paul in Colossians 2, verse 9, seeks to make this plain. He says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Jesus is God, the God who made the world and everything. One of the carols we sang yesterday had this beautiful line, though within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. And Christmas is a time when we catch a glimpse of this truth. Words are inadequate really to convey the wonder of it, that Jesus is God. But words are what we have. And the Bible helps us in showing us that Jesus is God. And in doing so, in seeking to help us to understand this, the Bible talks about light. In John's Gospel, in the prologue, he goes on and says, in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That was true of God in the beginning. Do you remember Genesis 1, verse 2? Darkness was over the surface of the water, of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Light is the work of God. When the angels were told of the birth of Jesus by the angels, we read, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The light of God. And what was it that brought the wise men in search of Jesus and led them to Bethlehem? The light of a star. Light from God. And you remember in John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is God. He is light. And as God, he has something else. He has power, almighty power. And that was so striking to all who saw him when he walked on earth. Power over the winds and the waves. Power over the course of nature. Who is this? Remember, ask the disciples, who is this? When Jesus stilled the storm, when they're on that boat on the lake on Galilee. Who is this? He even commands the winds and the water, and they obey him. They knew that his power over nature was the power of God. The same power that had blown the Red Sea into dry land so the children of Israel could cross. The power that had caused the storm for Jonah. The power that had caused the flood for Noah. Jesus is God with almighty power. And power over death. So at the tomb of Lazarus, already dead and buried for 4 days, Jesus just calls his name and out he walks, the risen, resurrected Lazarus. And he did the same, you remember, for the widow of Nain's son and for Jairus' daughter. And of course, supremely, when he himself rose from the dead. Jesus, God with us, has power over death. And he has power over the evil spirits and over Satan. God, you remember, said to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And Jesus overcame Satan in the wilderness. You remember when he was tempted by him. And he drove out demons from many people. And then we read this in Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too, that is Jesus, Emmanuel, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus has power over Satan. And Jesus has power to forgive sins. You remember the story in Mark 2 where the four men were carrying the man who couldn't walk to Jesus, and they can't get near because of the crowd, and they go up on the roof and they make this hole and let him down. And Jesus says to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." You remember the religious leaders were horrified. Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, they were right, of course. Jesus is God. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God. God, that's the first point. God. Second point, with. Jesus, Emmanuel, is God with us. He's God with. At a point in time, at the first Christmas, something happened. Something radical happened to the unchangeable God. He became God with. Philippians 2 verse 5. Christ Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. And John in John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh. And the hymn writers help us. Wesley, as we've just sung, says, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. And Cecil Francis Alexander, in Once in Royal David City, says, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And Wesley again, in And Can It Be, says this, he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love. God is unchangeable, but he's not static. He's immovable, but he's not set in stone like a Buddha statue. He's alive. He has plans and purposes. He moves. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform, we sing. God is separate from sinners, set apart from sinners. We read that in Hebrews 7:26. He's holy, he's perfect in his purity, but he's not remote. And in Jesus Christ, he is God with. Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. First point, God. Second point, with. Third point, us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, says John. Made his dwelling, pitched his tent, tabernacled, in some of the translations, among us. Emmanuel, God with us, means that God came to us. He didn't merely stand at a distance and shout to us. He didn't just send us an email, or even just send us a preacher or a prophet. He actually came. And he didn't come like the Queen would come, with her best clothes and hat and handbag, in a royal car, surrounded by a guard of honour. He came to be God with us, here, where we are, in our circumstances. He was in Mary's womb. And he was born, not in a sterile maternity hospital, but in a stable. And we read that he hungered and he thirsted in the wilderness. He faced temptation and he would face accusation. And he knew fatigue and sorrow and sadness. And he wept when Lazarus died. He's been here. He knows us. He's God with us. In Hebrews 4:15, speaking of Jesus, the writer says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." The AV says, "who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin." And it's because he is God with us that he can help us in the way that we need to be helped. And it's because he is God with us that he can be the saviour we need. Because we need someone like us, who could suffer the penalty for our sins in our place. It must be someone like us, but who had no sins of their own. A perfect man. But where could one be found? There was no one. And so, as it were, when the triune God looked down and saw us in our plight, the eternal Godhead held counsel together. What can we do? Whom can we send? And the Son of God said, "Send me, I will go." But how? How could God be a perfect man? Well, the Bible tells us. He tells us the answer. It tells us the answer because the question has already been asked. How will this be? Remember Mary's question to the angel Gabriel. How will this be? How can it possibly happen? What was the answer? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God, said the angel. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, said Isaiah. Which means, said Matthew, God with us. My dear friends, Christmas is a profound mystery and a wonder. And what should our response be on this day after Christmas Day? How should we respond to Emmanuel, God with us? Well, our response should be one of worship. Firstly, worship. Like those at that first Christmas, like Mary. Mary worshipped. "My soul glorifies the Lord," she said. And the shepherds worshipped, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And the wise men worshipped. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. My dear friends, how privileged we are to have this chapel, all built and ready for us to meet for worship. And how privileged we are to have fellow believers who want to meet week by week to worship our great God and Saviour. And to have the Bible that we can read and listen to, and hymns that we can sing. Jesus is God with us. So let us not neglect meeting together to be with Him, to lift our voices in praise to Him, to pour out our hearts to Him, to worship. We should worship Him. And we should trust Him. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So our response should be worship, and it should be faith, trust. Mary trusted Him. The angel Gabriel told Mary that her son, whose name was to be Jesus, would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. And you remember when Mary visited Elizabeth sometime later, Elizabeth said, "Why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." She has believed, Mary. And look at Mary's words of praise and faith in the song she recites in Luke 1:46 onwards. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things." What is Mary doing? She's expressing her faith, her trust in the God of heaven, who is God with us. Dear friends, have we been trusting the Lord Jesus during 2021? It's nearly over. We need to be sure that we keep trusting Him in 2022. Mary was trusting Him at this point. But some little time later, when she and Joseph took the baby Jesus up to the Jerusalem temple, you remember they met the old man Simeon, who took Jesus in his arms to bless Him and said to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Like as if He was saying to Mary, "You've had a happy Christmas, but for this new year ahead, indeed for your life ahead, there'll be plenty of ups and downs. There'll be pain and sorrow. And what you must do is keep trusting in Emmanuel, God with us." And that's what we need to cling on to as we approach the new year, dear friends. Trusting in the Lord Jesus. "I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and He'll guide me with His hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to Him my all." What should be our response to Emmanuel, God with us? Worship and faith. And one last thing, service. What did Mary say when the angel Gabriel explained to her everything that was going to happen? "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Are we prepared to say that to Emmanuel this morning? "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." God with us. is with us. And shouldn't we be ready to serve him, to live for him, to put our lives, our gifts, our strength, and our weakness all in his hands and say, Lord, I am your servant. Whatever you want me to do, help me to do it gladly, thankfully, faithfully, wholeheartedly. Well, may the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. Our last hymn might be our last opportunity to sing this for another year. O come all ye faithful, number 210. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. 210. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.